Our scripture reading for today is Isaiah chapter 11. We'll be reading verses 1 through 10. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what his eyes see, or make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor, and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. He will strike the earth with the word of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also, righteousness will be the belt around his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the faultling together, and a little child will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Then in that day, the nations will resort to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for the peoples, and his resting place will be glorious. The word of the Lord. Please be seated. So, this is a season of Christmas movies. How many of you have so far watched at least one of your favorite holiday Christmas movie? Okay. Yes, and there is a ton of them, and certainly for us, Scrooged is a big one. How many of you have ever seen Scrooged with Bill Murray? That's a huge one for us. And there's a number of them. There's always that decision, is A Nightmare Before Christmas a Halloween or a Christmas movie? We watch it at both holidays just to make sure it covers our bases. But there is the most traditional of Christmas movies. And often it shows up in the theater. It is showing up in the theater this Christmas season. And we are very, very excited for the Christmas classic, Star Wars. Very excited. Because soon in the theaters, very soon, is the conclusion of what has been called the Skywalker Saga. That has gone over 9 movies now, and a couple of, Clone Wars, there's all kinds of things going on in the world of Star Wars since the late 1970s, when I was coming up as a child. Star Wars was that thing that defined what we understood as the hero story, that story that was driving us towards something really good. The very first Star Wars movie that I got to see was just called Star Wars, but then as Star Wars movies were coming out, it had to have a title. Anybody know what the very first Star, not the first in the storyline, but the first Star Wars movie that was to come out, what it is called? Star Wars? A New Hope. Thank you. Thank you for the geek representation in the crowd. Yeah, it's called Star Wars, A New Hope. And the new hope, thank you very much, and the new hope that Star Wars, this particular chapter, which, for those of you who are like, that's chapter 1, no, it's not. It's chapter 4. The very first Star Wars movie, A New Hope, is chapter 4. You're all following me right now, right? That makes total sense to everyone. because it shows up because there were some stories that happened before. Long story short, things were not going well in the Galactic Empire Republic, whatever. The long time ago in a land far, far away. Right, right. So this all happened way in the past. It's all done in a land far, far away. And they're telling us this story. And the story in that land far, far away is that things are not going well. In fact, the peaceful republic has been taken over by an evil empire headed up by Emperor Palpatine and his kind of side person, his muscle, which is known as Darth Vader. Some of you have seen this movie. That's good. Well, and Darth Vader's taken over and all seems lost, but then there emerges this hope. At least we believe it. That is the hope, a young man by the name of Luke Skywalker. And Luke Skywalker is seen as a part of a long line of people called the Jedi. And the Jedi's responsibility was to keep hope and peace throughout the galaxy. And that was their job, but the Jedi have almost all but been destroyed and wiped out at this time, except there's this one young man, Luke Skywalker. And Luke Skywalker exists as our new hope. Now, as the movie goes on, I won't bore you with the entire movie if you haven't watched it. And if you haven't watched it, there's still time. There's still time to watch all 8 movies before the last one comes out in the theaters in about a week or so. So I'm going to suggest that you consider it. But the idea that goes through the 3 movies, it goes Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back. Return of the Jedi is the last one. New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. In Return of the Jedi, there's some question that Luke is not necessarily fulfilling his mission of being that new hope. And as he is going away and making a terrible decision, Yoda, his trainer, it just goes away and his old trainer says, "Oh, that boy was our last hope." And Yoda says, "No, there is another." And throughout the story of Star Wars, as we find out that all of our hopes were pinned in one area, but realize that there is always hope. That's what I love about the movie Star Wars, is that no matter what happens, is that there is always hope. Well, we thought it was Luke Skywalker. Luke did okay, and maybe didn't pan out the way that we wanted to, but there is a sister. And then the sister does okay, but then doesn't pan out. But now we're in this series of movies where there's this other hope that's happening. And I love the idea that no matter what is going on, that there is always another hope. As we enter into this holiday season, Advent is all about that. We could call it Advent, a new hope. I think we could call it that. Because that's what Advent is. It's the second Sunday of Advent, chapter 2 of Advent, A New Hope. And that's what we are coming to in our passage today. Because in the time that Isaiah was prophesying, things were not looking good for the people of Israel. They had had a golden era, let's call it the New Republic, where everyone was prospering under David and Solomon. Peace was in the empire. And they were doing well, but then things started to fall apart. And as Isaiah is writing, he wants the people of Israel to know that it is not a day where hope has been lost. In fact, there is another. And that other that we say here is what he describes as the branch of Jesse. And this is what he means, that a shoot is going to spring out. The branch of Jesse, meaning that is the father of King David, the ultimate king of Israel. But though those branches have been cut off, it seems like the tree has been cut down. But Isaiah is saying, no, look, there is a little shoot that's springing up out of the stump of this place where we found life and joy and peace. There is another one. And it describes what this king is going to be like. that it's not going to be a king that we can all celebrate the spoils of war, where the kingdom, the empire of Israel, will cover the earth and they will conquer and everyone will just bring money and snacks and, you know, whatever. That is not what this kind of peace is going to be. As Isaiah starts to talk about the kind of hope that we have as the people of God, he's describing it as a place of peace. Peace. You know, often when we think about victory, we don't think about it in terms of peace. We think about it in terms of winning. You know, I hear that term winning a lot, to be victorious, to be the winner, to be the conqueror. That is not who the root of Jesse is coming to be. The root of Jesse is coming to bring peace. You know, in the terms of Jewish thought and life, that's the word shalom. Now, it doesn't show up here in the passage, but this is, according to the Torah, this is a defining passage when it comes to how we understand peace or shalom. You've heard the term shalom. It's often a greeting or a departure term that you hear if you have Jewish friends. They might say shalom. You might have heard that. And it's directly translated in English, peace. But it means something more than that. Shalom means peace that results in wholeness and equity and life that exists like when the Messiah comes. Didn't realize that when somebody says shalom to you, that that's what they are saying. They're saying that I wish for the kind of life for you where you feel not only your own personal wholeness, but that that wholeness spreads to your family, to your community, and ultimately to the world around you. Shalom. I pray that you live in the life that will be when the Messiah takes his presence upon the earth and brings peace. Shalom. That's a lot better than, hey, what's up? I like that. You know, we should start incorporating that idea. World peace is something that we talk about a lot. In fact, you ask any pageant contestant what the thing that they want more than anything, and what will they say? World peace, right? That's the right answer. Anybody see the movie Miss Congeniality? Yeah. Sandra Bullock's character, she's an FBI agent that goes undercover, and she's asked that question, and she goes, well, stiffer penalties for parole violators. And everybody's looking like, what did she just say? And she goes, and of course, world peace. The place erupts in applause. But we often don't understand what we mean. See, the kind of peace when we come to the idea of peace in the scriptures is not the cessation of arms. It's not just nonviolence. It's not just tolerance. It's not just you stay over there and I will stay over here. It's the kind of peace where everyone's waterline is raising. It's where everyone is experiencing the fullness of what it is to be fully human and enjoy what it is to breathe and to live and to eat and to exist without fear. That is that kind of peace. When the Bible talks about world peace, that's what we are talking about. See, shalom is not just the cessation of war, but it is the existence of equity. It's the existence of joy. See, in a world where I am at peace, but you are not at peace, I am not at peace, according to the scriptures. See, there is no shalom, there is no peace on earth if I or my small community is the only one enjoying it. As Isaiah provides imagery, and by the way, I don't think we're actually describing that ox are, you know, just going to do that and lions are going to become vegetarians and all that. I don't think that's what we want to gain from the passage. What we want to gain from the passage is that true shalom, true peace, means that lions do not have peace at the expense of a lamb. That's the kind of peace that Jesus wants to bring into the world. Lions do not have peace at the expense of lambs. And I often wonder if that's how we understand peace. Is that peace or my success or my prospering has to be at the expense of someone else? When we enter into the kind of peace that the Messiah will bring, it's a kind of peace that says we all will be successful together. We all grow together. We all eat together. We all find joy together. We all find peace together, because if only one of us is at peace, none of us are at peace. That's the new hope that we have. And as we are here in this Advent season, I want us to remember the kind of peace when we say peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That is not the silent night. That is not the idea of quietness. It is not the idea of vacuum. It is not the idea of nothing's really going on. We're just totally at peace. That is not what that means. In fact, the peace on earth, goodwill toward humankind, is the kind of peace that erupts in celebration, because we cannot contain the joy that we have, because the joy that we have is shared across all of humanity. It's what we mean every time that I say, peace be with you. You know, at the end of confession, when we say that, when we pass the peace and Barbara says, you know, pass God's peace to one another, you know that that's not an invitation to just say good morning. But it's truly an invitation into the spiritual practice to go to one another and to say, shalom. I offer you the peace of Christ, the kind of peace that, you know, all that stuff that you just confessed, that thing that you were trying to find some kind of peace and wholeness, and you went totally down another road, and you ended up with anything but peace and wholeness. In fact, you have anxiety and disconnect and dissonance in your life. Well, we just confess that. We found ourselves forgiveness, and now we will go to one another and say, the peace of Christ be with you. Go seek the kind of peace that makes you whole, the kind of peace that fills your life with joy, the kind of peace that fills your life with love, and it spills over to the people next to you, and you realize that I want to share God's peace with you. I want the water level to go up for you. And as I share that with you, we share it with someone else, and that multiplication process begins, where we, as the people of God, share the peace of the Advent season with the world. Because if only we are at peace, then we are not at peace. Amen.